This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Good evening. I'm Margaret McConnell, the co-host of the Well-Being Report, which is brought to you by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I'm joined tonight by my co-host, Dr. Samantha Schock, the Executive Director of the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health.
Hi, Margaret. Great to be back.
On the Well-Being Report, we talk about social determinants of health and the impact on communities here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. We're going to talk about ways to encourage healthier community outcomes with wide-ranging conversations about food security, early education, and stable, affordable housing. And I think tonight we're going to touch on just about all of those things. Let's just get into it, Samantha.
Sounds good.
So we talk about the local drivers that impact health and wellness and the collective efforts by the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network in addressing community health. As always, to continue this discussion, I'll turn it over to Samantha, who will give us a little bit of an intro.
Thanks, Margaret. We're excited to bring you a bit of a different show tonight. Today's focus is around meaningful work and wealth. And when we say meaningful work and wealth, we are referring to having a job that you feel fulfilled in, having standard of living through that job. So earning enough that you can be able to purchase food reliably, afford the housing that you're living in, and that it enables you to have family and community wealth as a part of that. And there are many states right now that are working on workforce development issues, including Washington, Maryland, Colorado, and Pennsylvania. And we're going to highlight some of the really local work around efforts to increase people's ability to achieve meaningful work and wealth over time. And so there's so much good work happening in the Lehigh Valley and in Allentown around meaningful work and wealth right now. And we didn't want to shortchange any of it. So we came up with a little bit of a different idea. And we enlisted the help of our communications guy here at LPPIH, Matt Trust. And we had him interview a variety of key players here locally. So today we're going to actually play some clips from those conversations. And then Margaret and I will get to respond and react to that and have a discussion around efforts to improve meaningful work and wealth and the work that's currently underway here.
This is super exciting. So to start us off, we have previously had on the show Trevor Torman, who is a senior planner for the city of Allentown. Trevor talked explicitly about the role local government can play in creating meaningful work and wealth and how those efforts are underway. So let's take a listen to Trevor.
Is it that there's no good jobs available, or is it that your residents are having a hard time getting to those jobs? We felt it was the latter. And so we take that question out to plenty of partners. And so as we're getting responses back, we're seeing like similar stories come back to us. And like, you know what, this is the direction we're headed. We're seeing there's a lot of opportunity across the Lehigh Valley that's not being felt by plenty of our Allentown residents. Let's dig a little bit deeper here. And so we're looking at 78% of the prime age population, so folks between 25 and 54, are in the workforce. A healthy gap is about 5%. And so that's accounting for folks who have retired early or folks who are staying home with like a family. Any circumstance, if you are sub 5%, that's considered all right. Allentown as a city, your prime age employment gap is about 6%. The area where we're focusing on is 12%. Neighborhoods within that recompete area peak at nearly 24%. So in some places in our city, 1 in 4 folks are not participating in the workforce. And we'd like to argue that's not by choice. Franklin Park, areas within Center City, so primarily that Sacred Heart, Jordan Heights neighborhood of Allentown, and then the entirety of the 1st and 6th wards. So on a map, imagine 17th Street of Allentown all the way down to the Lehigh River. So there's just over 23,000 residents in the area, about 70% of whom are Latino, 50% of whom speak a language other than English, and the median household income in that area is $43,000, about nearly 20% lower than the citywide median household income. This plan is all about knocking down barriers to employment. So at the onset, we're talking about how do we bring in this regional economic growth and kind of bring some of those gains back into Allentown? And the path to do that is by knocking down barriers to employment. We're seeing that the reason why the Lehigh Valley's economy, booming economy, is not translating into some of Allentown's neighborhoods is that folks can't take that step into the workforce because there's barriers keeping them from being employed. So by knocking down those barriers, we'll reach a point where we can have more equitable participation in our economic growth. And so that comes by knocking down barriers to, say, skills gaps, education gaps, access to childcare, and access to transportation. And then by knocking down those barriers, we would like to see the result of that being folks placed in our highest opportunity industries within the region and within the city being healthcare and manufacturing, which is an interesting point across the entire country. Allentown and the Lehigh Valley are one of the few places where manufacturing is still growing, and growing at a rate nearly 4 points higher than the national rate. And so manufacturing accounts for about 16 to 17% of the Lehigh Valley economy, where the national rate is about 12%. And that number is going up, which is exciting.
So interesting about the manufacturing and how this area in particular has thrived and continued to grow in manufacturing after the demise of Bethlehem Steel, which of course prompted a lot of new development in the area by some really, really smart businessmen who came together as Bethlehem Steel was kind of in its decline and decided to invest in industrial parks. So it's cool to see. This goes back to my days working in economic development back in early 2000, and just really interesting to see how things have continued to develop in that area. But getting back to what our subject matter is actually about, the barriers to employment, I think it's so important that we're talking about all of these different things that prevent people from getting in the workforce, because you often only hear one side of, okay, people don't want to work. Well, it's not that people don't want to work. It's that they can't work because they don't have childcare or they can't get there. So I think that's just really important to acknowledge and to share and make people aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. We, as you mentioned, have previously talked about the Recompete effort that the city is leading, which they now have renamed Allentown Works. So it's great to see the work progressing there. And I think what Trevor spoke to is really highlighting the fact that this is an ecosystem, that it is drivers outside of the individual person that impact them and their ability to engage in a job, maintain a job, find something that works for their life, that enables them to live the life that they're looking to live, and also really puts Allentown in the context of the greater Lehigh Valley, and tying what's happening within the city into what's happening across both counties, and how, you know, some individuals will stay and work within Allentown, but we also recognize that some will work outside of Allentown, and there are barriers to being able to do that successfully. So I think it really highlights those vital conditions that we talk about, right? When we talk about meaningful work and wealth and all the things that are happening around us that can impact our ability to engage in having a successful career over time.
We had a show where we talked about transportation. We had Lanta on, and the importance of public transportation in this effort to break down barriers.
Yeah, we've talked about early childhood as well, right? So all these things that Allentown Works is going to be working to address really tied to those other vital conditions. And our next guest will continue to highlight that as well.
Yeah. So when it comes to establishing meaningful work and wealth, we have to acknowledge that it starts in our schools and with our youth. The Century Promise is a local organization that partners with seniors in the Allentown School District to assist in professional and personal development so they can be workplace ready. Telling us more is Anna Clancy from the Century Promise.
So the way that it has evolved is we do professional development for seniors in the Allentown School District. We make sure that by the time they are graduating, they have a resume. We make sure that they have had on-site experiences. So we have a medical career pathway and a trades career pathway, and we're working on a manufacturing pathway. Within these pathways, they all have on-site experiences. So for the medical students, that means they go to LVHN, St. Luke's, Good Shepherd, Gracedale Nursing Home, and they go for LVHN, it's for 8 weeks. For Good Shepherd, it's 4 weeks, and they shadow healthcare professionals. They get networking, they get on-site experience. For our trade students, they go to they go on field trips with us. We go to about 16 field trips a year, which is crazy. But we go to all the local unions. So the electrical union is a big partner for us, the carpenters union, and they get kind of hands-on experience. They do little projects. And then each pathway has an education component. So for the medical career pathway students, we do a medical terminology course with LTRI-C. So that's a dual enrollment. They'll come out with some college credits and a general knowledge of what everybody's talking about when they're in the medical field. And then the trade students do they either do Ed Ready, which is preparing them for the math skills test that they need to take to get into the unions, or they will do some sort of trade, you know, equivalent of what they're going to be doing. And then the professional development portion, because we're working with young adults, kind of starts with the personal development relationship. I would say our most important aspect of our program is that relationship. So having someone that they trust to kind of grow with is huge. It is the most important, because once they start their personal development journey, the professional just comes with it. They care about how are you being seen, and changing that dynamic of like, how are you being seen in high school to how are you being seen in your career, which then transforms into that professional development. So by the time we start our professional development workshops, they're kind of already there. They know what questions to ask. They know who to reach out to. They know who to introduce themselves to.
So much good content there. And it really highlights, I think, some experiential learning and how, so Allentown Works is talking about prime age individuals, so adults who should be in the workforce, but Century Promise is a part of that collaboration as well, because of this connection to needing to start with youth, right, and exposing youth to different job opportunities. And so I love that she really talks about that. It's not just what you read in a book or in the classroom, but it's about being on site and seeing different opportunities and getting that hands-on experience, and really ties to that idea of we're always learning, we're always growing in some way. And I also really like that she highlights that personal growth in addition to the professional growth and tying those two pieces together, that in order for us to be successful in our jobs or in our careers, we also have to continue to grow personally.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear how this program has developed. And, yeah, you know, it makes me think about when I was in high school, you had two options. You were college prep or you were vo-tech, right? So you're vocational technical schools. So that's where, you know, you could learn. You knew you weren't going to college if you were in vo-tech, which, you know, had a stigma around it and really shouldn't have a stigma around it. Because guess what? We need hairdressers. And we need plumbers. So, you know, those skills, we need truck drivers. They have a wonderful program for truck drivers up at LTRI-C. But anyway, I think this program is very similar to what they're doing with vo-tech, but in a much more real world capacity, like getting students out into the workforce very early on and teaching them what it means to show up, right? So half of the battle when you start getting into the workforce is knowing that the first step is to show up every day, right?
Exactly.
And absolutely, then what does that look like to show up? So I really love that Century Promise is doing this program.
Agreed.
So I think we'd be remiss, Sam, if we didn't take a moment now to talk about PA Career Link, Lehigh Valley, and all the wonderful resources they provide.
Absolutely. When you think about career efforts, Career Link should be first thing that comes to mind. So PA Career Link Lehigh Valley is an employment and training center that connects employers and job opportunities with qualified job seekers across the Lehigh Valley. There are so many resources that they provide for individuals within the Lehigh Valley, and support people of all ages, backgrounds, and levels of work experience, including providing services in both English and Spanish, assessment of skill levels, aptitude tests, abilities and supportive service needs, job search and placement assistance, recruitment events, and so much more. And so it would not be a full episode if we did not make sure that we gave a shout out to CareerLink and all the good work that they do. And they are also a key partner in the Allentown Works effort as well.
Yeah, true. That's outstanding. So for more information, head to careerlinklehighvalley.org. Or you can visit their primary location during normal business hours at 555 Union Boulevard in Allentown.
Our next clip that we're going to listen to is from one of my good colleagues at LVHN, Lisa Liddington. We touched on the role that local government and nonprofits can play, but also healthcare systems play a big role in workforce development pieces, especially here in the Lehigh Valley. Healthcare is one of the biggest employers, if not the biggest employer. And one of the programs that Lisa oversees is a program called Healthcare Futures, which works closely with other programs like Century Promise. She's going to tell us a little bit more about what they do within Healthcare Futures.
So I think as a health network, we play a huge role in this, and particularly at LVHN, the region's largest employer and such a major driver of the economy. And so we know when people are working and they have a living wage and they're able to be prosperous and have really able to build that long-term financial stability, that it's just better for the community and it's better for community health. The term meaningful work and wealth is really the ability to establish that long-term financial stability, and not just from a job and a steady paycheck, but really from work that gives you purpose. We're so excited about our Healthcare Futures program. So this is a program that is geared towards students who are on a direct-to-work path. So for whatever reason in their life, they are not choosing to move on to post-secondary education at this time. And so through the program, we partner with high school seniors who come into our health network and they intern with us for about 6 weeks. And over those 6 weeks, they will shadow in 3 or 4 different entry-level positions. What is really unique about this program is during their time in each unit, they spend at least 1 week shadowing with the leader of that department. And so they can see more of the operations side and sort of what goes on behind the scenes, maybe in a clinical department. And what's also unique about that too is it allows the student to connect with that leader, to hear their story, to understand their challenges. So for many of these students, they may be the first person in their family to consider a career in healthcare. There's one story of a young woman now who is a patient care partner with us at our Cedar Crest location. So patient care partners are what you'd consider a nurse assistant. So she joined the program. No one in her family had ever worked in the healthcare industry. They kind of were steering her toward what they were more familiar with and was working in industry here. When students start with Healthcare Futures, one of the first things that we do is get them a uniform. And it's really interesting seeing the transformation in kids when they are wearing a scrub that has our logo on it, it's got their name on it and Healthcare Futures logo, and it makes them feel special. And they also stand out in the hospital because it's their own special color. So everybody knows our Healthcare Futures students in the hospital by the color of their uniform top. And so this student shared with our program coordinator that when she went home the first day and she had her badge with her photo and her uniform top on, that her parents both teared up. They were so proud of her. And they said, you know, we're just so excited about your future and what you're learning to do with the health network. And then as an aside to that, another individual in her family, one of her uncles, I think it was, decided to pursue a foundational job, an entry-level job with LVHN as well. And so I think that's what's really cool about this program is it really is intergenerational. So we're opening up opportunities to both students and to their family members and introducing them to these careers in healthcare.
I'm just reflecting back on when I took a short stint as what we used to be called as candy stripers. Which is really showing my age, but and it's when you could go volunteer in the hospital doing various tasks and you got to wear like the striped uniform. Uh-huh. And I remember having to do it because of the uniform. And I never went back after day one because I also learned that I can't be around blood and needles and things like that. So it's great that they have a program that shows you something before you go down a path, right? Before you decide to go to school and be a nurse. And you start your education in that field, and it's like, oh, you're going to pass out every time you see blood.
Sounds like it was a very meaningful experience, even though it was a short one for you. It does highlight those experiences can be really key in determining whether it's a path that someone wants to pursue or not. And just having exposure to it can help make that decision. And I think what Lisa spoke about really highlights mentoring, too, and the opportunity to see other people in those roles and see if it's something that you're interested in, that you can see yourself in, and really speaks to the variety of roles within healthcare. I don't think people often think about all the different types of jobs there are within the healthcare system, because they're like little mini cities in some ways, right? There's roles within the hospital setting, outpatient setting, administrative, obviously clinical. And so, you know, having exposure to lots of different types of roles within the health system, I think is also helpful to see all the things that go into making a healthcare system a healthcare system. So it was really nice to hear both about new initiatives that are underway within Allentown and Lehigh Valley, as well as some longstanding work that CareerLink and others have been doing. And as always, we need to take a moment to highlight how we can center residents' voices in all of this. If we are providing programs and opportunities for residents, we need to ensure that it's in line with the way that they want to receive services, that meets their needs, and that provides opportunities for things that they are interested in pursuing. And so we asked a few of our colleagues, Sherry Binder, Executive Director at Ripple Community Inc., who is a former guest on the show, as well as Daring Yolanda Colbert from Cohesion Network, who have also been on episodes before, to touch on this a little bit and talk about the way that their experiences have informed their understanding of what residents need and how to incorporate them in the process.
Actually, in the process of putting together what we hope will be a really productive, collaborative effort focused on workforce readiness, mentorship-based workforce readiness for our community members who just need a little additional scaffolding, not just to become employed, but really to remain successfully employed. And I'm going to kick that right over to Yolanda, because she's the one with the, the skills here to share about that more directly.
Well, yes. In our experience with workforce development, we created a program that would help walk folks through as they get a job for a year, just to navigate life where things become difficult, and just what are the barriers, just to help remove barriers or create solutions, creative solutions. Because what we found, when folks are alone and they don't have people to process with, life happens. And then there's a lot of impulsive decisions that are made within that time frame. So this is just something to help create the skills that to be able to, whether it's communicate with your employer, being on time, just certain things of skills that are needed, soft skills, all those things that are needed to maintain a job. Then also, how do we manage our lives outside of the job? So it's a budgeting, whatever. Do I need to make more? Whatever, all those
anger
things.
Management.
Yeah, all those things that come in, daycare. There's so much. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where we're in the process of working together to see how, in our little corner of the world, how we can create something, some solutions in Franklin Park or wherever, so that we can address those barriers and those issues.
I just think one of the things in our experience of workforce, and I did it at Northampton County Jail, and she did it right on 7th Street in Allentown. And many of our clients that we work with really had the skills to get a job. Really, it's keeping the job is the most important thing, right? That's the most important thing. And I want you to understand how multi-layered and multi, this is complicated, right? You lose a job, you lose your housing. They're all connected, but that's all connected to one's mental health, right? And so we have to help people with their anger, with their trauma, with their patience, right? Because working in these systems, I've seen some of my clients, they told me to do this. I did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I still, and then they lose patience. And when they lose patience, then that's where that, you know, I'm gonna go do something else. Like, and this is where, so for us, I think working together with Sherry provides an opportunity to show people that if you really care about folks and you provide them this additional layer of support, it'll work. We saw it work when we did it. I did it in a prison, people, and she did it on 7th Street. We saw it work for people. At the same time, we saw people make poor decisions because they were impulsive. People made poor decisions because we always say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Who you spend time with will shape all of your different experiences. And people don't understand. If you got a job and you're trying to do well, you can't keep hanging around with people that are not focused on keeping a job. So you have to make sure that your circle of people that you're hanging around with are supporting you on your journey of health and wholeness. So this collaboration is powerful because it shows you when nonprofits center residents and neighbors, we can do a really good work. We're not focused on us as an organization, us. But when we work together to deal and address with some of the issues to support our residents and our neighbors, powerful, powerful things happen. And that's why I believe we're having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Better note to end on than that. I think it really highlights and enables us to come full circle from where we started. So we started the conversation talking about barriers to entry into the workforce. And I think what Darren, Yolanda, and Sherry just spoke to is what it takes to stay in the workforce once you're there as well. And that these aren't static opportunities, but that it's an ongoing journey for people and that life is happening around us as we're trying to maintain our job, maintain our careers. That's true for all of us. And so how do we support people in that? Emphasizing that, you know, that long-term success requires work and we have to put that work in to not just showing up, which is half the battle, but then staying there and keeping with it.
Yeah, I honestly, whenever the Colberts are talking, I could just listen forever. They have so many great insights. And again, going back to what we were talking about with like the physical barriers to employment, such as childcare or transportation, you have to also think about the things that are happening within a person, their mental health, their trauma that they've grown up around and with, and how that shaped their personality. You know, all of those things that really impact your ability to work with other people and deal with stress in the workplace. And there's always going to be stress in the workplace. There's going to be somebody that ticks you off with something. And then how do you react to that? You can't yell and scream at people, even though maybe that's how you were raised and you grew up with that. So learning all of that is so important and really just part of the bigger picture of what it means to be part of the workforce.
Yeah, working with other people, feeling confident in your own skills and ability to do your job every day, and then managing the many stressors of life. It certainly is not an easy task for any of us. And I would like to just give a shout out to the Aspen Institute put out a resource recently around centering worker voice and employer engagement and program design. And so it's a good resource for anyone to look at to have get some ideas about how to make ensure that we are centering resident voice as we design these types of programs.
Great. I know we're going to talk more about all of these things this year throughout the show. Today, we are out of time. I want to thank my co-host, Samantha Schack. I want to thank the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health for helping us bring this program to this community. If you would like to listen again, you can go online at wdiy.org and stream it, or WDIY has an app, or anywhere that you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining us. Have a great night.
This has been the Well-Being Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on wdiy.org, and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.